your mother-in-law. If you're tuning in, these are some of the latest concerns and recent events we will be discussing here today. This is the Noah Clue Show, with your host, Noah Clue. I am Noah Clue, and I am on the Noah Clue Show. You may call me Noah Clue. Are you psychic? In today's recent events, we are discussing two Romans who had fallen asleep outside of the tomb of the recently deceased Jesus of Nazareth, who had been crucified 2 days ago for claiming to be the supposed king of the Jews. The guards in question woke up the next morning to find that the body within the tomb was missing. Only the burial wrappings were left intact. What does this mean? Where did it go? Is this a classic case of grave robbing? Or is there more to this mysterious event than meets the eye? We will be discussing this today. But first, the weather.
It's hot.
Thank you. Back on the subject of the missing body, there has been speculation going around that the supposed king of the Jews has risen from the dead. Perhaps this is no more than a cover-up by the Roman Empire, distracting us from the threat of giant gopher men rising from their homes in the... Yeah. Say that again. We have just received word of... Thank you, Rosie. We have just received word about the ongoing investigation of the missing body of Jesus. Reports are in that the locals of Jerusalem have witnessed Jesus of Nazareth walking through the streets, not dead, but alive and well. Yeah. this, dear viewers, is another good example of the conspiracy against the gopher men. Now, I... What now? Really? reports are in that there have been multiple eyewitnesses of this Jesus figure. Who is this guy? Whether this is a case of mistaken identity or just mass hysteria, you will be the first to know about it here on the Noah Clue Show. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today. Tune in next week as we discuss cats with no hair. Weird, right? Well, if you excuse me, this investigative journalist has some investigating to do. Tune in next time, dear viewers.
I have one joke and then we'll begin. Why couldn't the president set that day just like tomorrow? Think about it. It'll come to you. All right. Acts chapter 13. Before we go there, I'd just like to share right quick, as I do every year, the 8 reasons to believe in the resurrection. There's the enraged enemies that Jesus had. They were the ones that made sure he was dead. He didn't faint. They were the ones that made sure he was buried. There could be no fakery. The empty tomb, yet it was empty. In spite of all their precautions and all their great efforts and expenses, the tomb was empty. The eyewitnesses, proving himself alive for 40 days, being seen by hundreds of people, 500 in one sitting, they could have testified in any courtroom, even in the land today, and it would have to have been taken seriously because eyewitness testimony still stands. If it doesn't, then the whole judicial system falls apart. The empowered followers, the men and women who were afraid as a result of the ending of their dreams, somehow became courageous to the point they were willing to die horrible deaths and be tortured, and not one of them recanted the story of the resurrection. The engaged family, you know, everybody will follow you except your family. Jesus himself said it, a prophet's honored everywhere except at home. How many presidents have we had that were embarrassed by their relatives? Don't have to think very far back before this happens. The embracing of the empire, after 3+ centuries of resisting the resurrection story, it became official within Roman religion. Have you heard of the Roman Catholic Church? There's a reason they're called Roman. It's the embracing of the Roman Empire. Now, making converts by force, that was never the plan of God, so that created other problems. But the point remains, they stopped fighting the story of the resurrection. The enduring results, how many here have had their lives changed and are being changed through faith in this story, this historical record? And the engraving of history, what is the year today? AD 2024, because of the resurrection. Enraged enemies made sure there was no fraud, the empty tomb, there was no body to be found. The eyewitnesses made sure there was no contradictions in the story. The empowered followers, there was no more fear. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit in the story of the resurrection. The church was born just a short walk from the empty tomb. The engaged family, who are known to discredit their relatives, his family didn't. They credited him through the resurrection. In fact, two of his brothers wrote books in the New Testament. His mother Mary is honored around the world. The embracing of the empire resulted in no more denial. While under their watch, this story occurred. The enduring results, you can't stop it because the results are continuing to happen. They may even happen in here today. As you hear the good news of the resurrection, you may find yourself beginning to believe. The engraving of history, who's heard of BC versus AD? He technically was born, if you do the math, was born 3 BC, and he was killed AD 30. AD does not mean after death. It means anno domino in Latin, which is anno, which refers to time, and domino refers to lordship. Dominate. Anybody here dominate at dominoes? So it means the time of our Lord, or the year of our Lord, annual, anno, the year of our Lord, 2024. From the Lord's reign, which begins with his life, we are at year 2024. I know the world tries to change it to BC, CE, to make it less Christian, but do the math, it still is there. The line has been drawn. The engraving of history occurred because of the resurrection. Today, we're going to look at Paul's first recorded sermon. We have a lot of teachings of Paul in the New Testament, but here in the early days of his ministry, on his first missionary journey, he did a trip from Antioch of Syria with his partners in ministry. They were sent out in the power of the Holy Spirit. He had become a believer after the resurrection. He never saw Jesus, but so convincing was the proof, and the convincing was the power of God, that he became a believer himself and became a preacher of the gospel, and sailed by ship to the island known as Cyprus, which is about the size of Arkansas, walked across that island preaching the gospel, going into the synagogues first. The Jews were scattered across the empire, sharing the gospel to them and to interested Gentiles, and their churches would be born. He sailed from Cyprus to what we would call the southern coast of Turkey today, and winds up in another town called Antioch, Antioch of Pisidia. And while there, he visits the synagogue, and the leaders of the synagogue asked him and his party, "Do you men have anything encouraging to say?" And like a typical preacher, it was like, "Oh, yes." Verse 26 will interrupt in the middle of his sermon. He said, "Men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham," that's the Jews there in Pisidia, "and those among you who fear God," that's the Gentiles, "to you the word of this salvation has been sent." And it's coming from my lips, basically, he was saying. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people, verse 32, and we declare to you glad tidings. Can you say good news? That promise which was made to the fathers, God has fulfilled for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, quote, you are my son, today I have begotten you. When was the only begotten son of God begotten? He is God, he always has been. So how could he be begotten? This is the mystery. But if you study it, he was begotten the day he was raised from the dead. He died an unjust death, and the Father raised him from the dead, fulfilling the prophecy, you are my son, from the second Psalm, today I have begotten you, verse 34. And that he raised him from the dead no more to return to corruption, he has spoken thus, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Therefore, verse 35, he also says in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. In other words, your body will not decay. For David, verse 36, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, he's the one that wrote that prophecy, fell asleep and was buried with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. The law of Moses, I did not mean to be disrespectful, but the law of Moses does not justify. It points out sin. You break the law, you must be punished. The Ten Commandments, before they reached the Israeli nation the first time, they were broken at the foot of the mountain because of the idolatry they were practicing while Moses was receiving the written word of God from God, carved in stone by his finger. I'd like to look at verse 30. But God raised him from the dead. Tell your neighbor, but God. But God, whether opening a sentence, interrupting a thought, or used in a narrative, these six letters and a space, B-U-T space G-O-D, signify a big change or an amazing turnaround that has been activated by the Lord and his actions and his character. Here are some biblical examples. In Genesis 20, Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah, Abraham's wife. Verse 3, but God came in a dream by night and said to him, you're a dead man. That woman belongs to somebody else. In Genesis 31, Jacob said to his wives, Rachel and Leah, I see your father's countenance that is not favorable toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. Your fathers deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God did not allow him to hurt me. In verse 24, but God came to Laban, his father-in-law, the Syrian, in a dream by night and said, be careful what you say to Jacob. Verse 29, Laban said to Jacob, it is in my power to do you harm, but the God of your father spoke to me last night. Be careful what you say to him. In Genesis 45, Joseph, in speaking to his brothers who had sold him into slavery, he said, it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord of his house and a ruler of Egypt. Jacob, when he finally got to see Joseph, said this to him in chapter 48:11, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God has shown me your offspring. Not only do I get to see you, but I get to meet the grandkids. All the grandparents say, thank the Lord. So after their father died, Joseph's brothers were afraid. Now that dad's gone, is he really going to do us harm? He said to them in Genesis 15, 19, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Are you seeing a theme here? In verse 24, he said, "I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land." In Deuteronomy 23, 5, it said, "Nevertheless, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam." He was a prophet who was hired to curse Israel, and God would not listen to Balaam. "But the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you." When Balaam opened his mouth, out came these amazing promises regarding Israel. In 1 Samuel 23, Saul was looking for David to do him harm, but God did not deliver him into his hand, verse 14. In 2 Chronicles 11, 2, it says, "But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, and don't attack Israel." In Psalm 49, David wrote verse 3, "This is the way of those who are foolish and of their posterity who approve their sayings." And he continues on, but here's the revelation in verse 15. "But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me." Psalm 64, 6, "They devise iniquities. We have perfected a shrewd scheme, they say. Both the inward thought and the heart of man are deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly they'll be wounded." Psalm 66, 8. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer." Who's glad he hears our prayer? Psalm 73, 26. "My heart and my flesh fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Psalm 86, 14. "Oh God, the proud have risen against me, and a mob of violent men have sought my life and have not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, abundance in mercy and truth." Psalm 94, 21. "They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. But the Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my refuge." Psalm 115, verse 2. "Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? But our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases." You see in the theme here? I could continue with Isaiah 5, 17, 40, and 51, Jeremiah 10, Daniel 2. Jesus said in Matthew 19, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." In a sermon in Acts 7, it says the patriarch sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his troubles. Our text today from chapter 13, "But God has raised him from the dead." In Romans 5, 7, Paul wrote, "For scarcely a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." Who's glad about that? Romans 6, 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." We read this last week, 1 Corinthians 1, 26. "Not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble." Aren't you glad he didn't say not any? We have some nobles in the house, are called. "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise." 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit." Chapter 3, verse 6. "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." And one of my favorites in the New Testament is 1 Corinthians 10, 13. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." You're not the only one being tempted. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptation will make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And Ephesians 2, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, made us alive together in Christ and raised us up together with Christ. Can we say our title today? But God. Get used to it. After the crucifixion, it looked like Christ's life was over. But God. Preach with me. Kingdom hope was lost. But God. Mary's labor was wasted. His promises were broken. Those prophecies were false. The new covenant was destroyed. Jesus' ministry was temporary. His followers had left all in vain. But God. They might always have to hide for the rest of their lives. But God. Peter was deconstructing his faith. The sun darkened and the earth quaked. Look sad. Our fears of death would remain. The guarded grave would stay closed forever. But God. The sealed tomb would not be open. But God. The heavy stone could not be rolled away. Messianic dreams became nightmares. Our Lord's enemies triumphed over him. His church building plan was canceled. Are you glad about it? But God. Lord, we thank you for making an exception. You may not believe this story. Your life has not yet been transformed. You may still hold to the hoax theory. Yeah, I hear all this stuff. It's so much rhetoric to me, but I still think the disciples paid off the guards to say the body was stolen, even though nobody ever found the body, and even though nobody even fessed up under torture. Yet I still hold to that theory. Well, Babylon B took that up as something to dramatize. What would that look like? If there was a hoax, this would be an imaginary conversation between the disciples.
Are we all here? I need 100% participation for this to work.
Yeah, everyone's here. All 12. 11. 11 of us. What's the plan?
Well, as you know, Jesus is dead. But stick with me. Stick with me, okay? Stick with me. I have a plan. We are going to steal his body.
Okay, I'm tracking with you. What's next?
And then we're going to tell the whole world that he rose from the dead.
Oh, okay. You know I'm in.
I love it already.
All right, classic. Then what?
And then
we're all going to get brutally murdered.
Wait, come again.
Could you go over that last part real quick?
Oh, what? We get murdered. What's the problem?
I like it. I like it. I mean, don't get me wrong, Pete. I love me a good hoax as much as the next guy, right? Right? What's in it for us? Do we all get riches, fame, and fortune first, right?
No, get this. You're going to be hated.
Hated.
Persecuted. And reviled for the rest of your life!
Oh! Oh! Okay, guys. Okay, fellas. I gotta be missing something here, right? Okay? I mean, why on earth would we do this? Can we start over?
Okay. We'll start from the beginning. Everybody, for John.
Yeah. The beloved disciple.
So, okay. We go down to Jesus' tomb.
Sounds good.
This is really easy.
Then we pay off the Roman soldiers that are guarding the tomb with their lives.
Why would they do that?
Then we somehow roll away the big stone that's in front of the tomb.
Obviously, you have to move the rock first. Duh.
And then we steal his body.
Yeah, I mean, I, I guess.
Then we tell the whole world that he rose from the dead, and we get brutally murdered for our troubles!
Epic prank, bro.
Peter, you rock! Okay, guys. Okay, and then what?
Then we all get killed. Come on.
When do we see ourselves become exalted and praised?
That's just it.
You don't!
What is happening? Anyone hear what I'm saying? This is the most idiotic plan of all time!
Chill out, bro. I mean, do I really have to explain the joke to you? Look, it's that we lie about Jesus' resurrection, and then we all die.
How am I supposed to chill out when our heads are getting cut off? Or worse, what is wrong with you guys? Thomas, okay, look, back me up here. I know you can't be cool with all this. I know you gotta have some doubts. Come on.
Doubts? I don't know about having a doubt! Shit, guys!
Okay, you guys have officially lost it, okay? I am out of here. I'd rather be exiled to a deserted island than spend another minute with you wackos.
Have I got some good news for you?
Fed to lions, crucified upside down, pierced by spears,
pookie, 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 pookie,
stoned. And I don't mean the devil's lettuce. Stoned, and then clubbed to death. Stoned, and then beheaded, drawn and quartered, tied to train tracks. Beheaded. Have you ever heard of a Roman candle?
Flayed alive.
Burned alive, cooked in boiling oil. Classic.
Christ is risen. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom you give us from the fear of death. Lord, you conquered it for us and left and promised to return. And Lord, you've given us eternal life so that we, like Dale Kennedy, when it's our time to go forward, we face it without any fear or dread or regret. Lord, I pray for those here that are not sure. I pray, Lord, you give them the gift of saving faith. Your word says, by grace are we saved through faith, and that is not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. Lord, we thank you for the good news of the gospel. And Lord, as we close with this song, Lord, may we celebrate fearlessly the risen Lord. Christ is risen.
Moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world. Thank you.
creation. In our culture, there's a contempt for the Word of God. It's even crept into the churches. The Lord Jesus Christ said he would, like Jonah, be in the grave for 3 days and three nights. 3 days and three nights. Do the math. Good Friday isn't what's being celebrated on that day. It's fine to celebrate it remembering, but don't confuse your children by thinking Jesus lied or the Bible has inaccuracies. The story of the resurrection, the crucifixion, is in four of the Gospels, the four biographies of Jesus: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, named after the men that wrote them. So the confusion comes in the fact that they buried him because Sabbath was coming. So you think that's Friday, right? Because of Sabbath. But if you read the Torah, there are high Sabbaths during their festivals. And the festival of Passover included the 7-day festival of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And in that, between the two Sabbaths, was a high Sabbath, a high day of rest. And it moves around. It's a little different day every year between Sabbaths. Rarely ever would it be on the same day. So it was before a high Sabbath that he died, and they buried him in the ground. Possibly he died on Thursday. So you got Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. Those are the days. Sunday morning, he is risen from the dead. Christ is risen! If you've not read them, read the four accounts of his resurrection. Do research for yourself. Something this significant in history is worthy of your research. Don't just brush it off as wishful thinking. It is engraved in history, has been around for 20 centuries, and is still being celebrated around the world. And faith in this story changes lives. It takes our fear of death away. The fear of death is the root of all fears. No matter what you're afraid of, if you think it to its logical conclusion, why are you afraid of heights? Why are you afraid of water? Why are you afraid of spiders? You're afraid of dying. He can set you free of arachnophobia. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Christ is risen. Go get them, Tigers. God bless you.